Testing, one, two, three. Testing, one, two, three. Okay, channel recording levels are fine. Testing, one, two, three. Testing, one, two, three. Testing, testing, one, two. Testing, testing, testing. Okay, it says it's working, but it's not going anywhere. Testing, one, two, three. It is? Okay.
City Council meeting of August 11, 2014 to order. Welcome, everyone. I've asked Angel Garza to lead us in an opening prayer, and then I'll lead us in the flag salute.
Dear God, we come before you this evening, Lord, thanking you and acknowledging your precious name. We ask you to be with us in this meeting, Lord. May everything we say and do be for the benefit of the city and the citizens of the city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Item 1.3 on our agenda is roll call. All of our city council members and the mayor is present. So we'll move on to item 1.4, citizen input, and that would be Rob Simmons has arranged to present some information for the council. Rob?
Well, Mr. Mayor and council, I appreciate you letting me get up here quick and early because, as you know, some of you know, I have a board meeting that's going on right now for myself, so I have to get to that. In your packet of information, pretty much everything was there. I'll just reiterate things and kind of my talking points. So this is just for me a formal request for the City Council to consider adopting an ordinance to allow the use of wheeled all-terrain vehicles, we'll call them WATVs, on public roads within the Othello city limits. WATV, I understand, is a new classification of ATVs that the state adopted last year. They have to fit into certain criteria. So last year, the House and Senate passed House Bill 1632, which addressed the use of WATVs on public roads in Washington State. On July 3rd, 2013, Governor Inslee signed it into law, and the specifics of the new law are primarily in the RCW 46-09-455, which I did include in your packet as well. So just a brief synopsis of it for some people who wonder, what does that look like? You know, I've gotten some feedback like, would everyone be tearing up and down the streets on their four-wheelers, you know? And it's not at all. It's the law limits the use to roads with a posted speed limit of 35 miles an hour or less. There's only certain WATVs that qualify. Well, maybe all WATVs qualify, but only certain ATVs qualify. Specific safety equipment is required. And then after you do all the safety upgrades to the machine, you have to get inspected by a dealer who can inspect it, sign off on it, and you have to pay for that inspection. Then you go to the and you can get go to the Department of Licensing and they give you a special. They don't even have them yet because this is all pretty new. But you'll get it'll be a metal tag and then you get a special sticker that goes on it that says it's approved for on-road use. The drivers have to have a valid driver's license. They have to be over 16. So it's really in that respect no different than driving any other automobile or even a motorcycle on the road. You have to follow those kind of rules. The one thing is in counties with a population of 15,000 or greater, the cities within that county have to adopt an ordinance, and that's why I'm here. If the county is 15,000 or under 15,000, it's automatically approved in those counties because the state passed the law. So they are leaving it up to the local cities to make the determination if that's something they want to do. So for me, the option to be able to drive my ATV to work, to the grocery store, to a friend's house. For me, that's kind of fun. I don't ride a lot. I'm not someone who likes to ride off-road a lot. So First of all, I'm hoping, I don't even know if this will be true, but save on gas, the enjoyment factor of it, and really just convenience to just jump into it and go is pretty convenient. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to be riding when it's 100 degrees out, because I want air conditioning, but I don't know if they have that option for my ATV yet. I put 4 sample ordinances in the packet for you. There's a lot of cities that have adopted it. These are just 4 that were kind of spread out, and I want to give you an idea of them. And so, you know, they go anywhere from being very specific, having their attorneys draft up specific language, to I saw one that basically said, we approve what the RCW says, and left it at that. Whatever the state verbiage was, the city was okay with it as well. So this was just to start, get the ball rolling, and for the council to consider. And if you have any questions for me and my thoughts, or I'd try to answer.
Just yeah, one. If it's a state law already, and there is no existing ordinance that prohibits you from doing it, wouldn't you still be able to do it today?
So I would love it that was true, but when I read this, my interpretation of it, I'll read to you the RCW and then give you my interpretation. I had it just a minute ago because I was going over with Dave. Here we go. A person may not operate a wheeled all-terrain vehicle on a public roadway within the boundaries of a city or town, not including non-highway roads and trails, which I found out are just private roads or Forest Service roads, which you can't ride on Forest Service roads anyway, unless the city or town by ordinance has approved the operation of wheeled all-terrain vehicles on the city or town roadways. I think the purpose of that was to, that way people aren't riding around Seattle on four-wheelers all of a sudden. They wanted to give certain sized counties, the cities, the option to decide if they wanted it for their city or not.
Okay. Thanks, Rob. Yeah.
So these vehicles have to be licensed with the state, have a license plate, and are we talking four-wheelers only, or are dirt bikes street legal, or what's the story there?
A dirt bike would only be street legal if it was have the equipment on it to be street legal, which then they call that a dual purpose bike, so they already make those kind of bikes.
Okay.
It's very specific in the language in the RCW about the width of the vehicle, how many pounds of pressure in the tires that get it to qualify as this WATV. And so, you know, the House bill, I didn't include it in your packet. It's a long one, so I didn't want to bore you with that. They just basically took that House bill and then put it into RCW language, I understand. But so if you wanted to look at that, those specifics, it's in the mostly RCW 46.09 has got all the specifics of ATVs and off-road vehicles, and they just added into that.
Probably.
My specific one is side-by-side that probably weighs more than a smart car, and if I was going to be in an accident, I'd probably rather be in that than a smart car, too.
Okay. Rob, I do want to thank you and let you know that I do appreciate you doing all that research. I did call the city of Prosser today because that was one of the ordinances that they that you provided us, and they adopted their ordinance back in June and have said that they haven't had any citizen complaints of any kind, that it seems to be well received. They're a small rural farm community, so they're used to those type of vehicles anyway, so that would seem pretty good. I guess at this point then we need the council to comment whether they would like to have staff and in conjunction with the police chief and the city attorney to prepare an ordinance.
I'd like to look at it. I was telling Angel, we go to St. Mary's, Idaho 3 times, 4 times a year, mm-hmm. and back our four-wheeler off the trailer, don't load it up till we leave. And 2 years ago, I went to a wedding on an ATV. And it's very, I mean, you got to have turn signals on it, you know, lights. And as long as it's registered, which ours, mine's registered here, you know, helmet, of course, and you're good to go. And it's, like Rob was saying, it's a real, I work at Evergreen, and it'd be really nice to live over here on 4th to be able to just hop on my four-wheeler and go to work real quick, you know, save that money. But anyway, I'd like for him to look into it.
I saw the guy spraying weeds the other day in the six-wheeler, and I was jealous of him. I want to follow him around.
Council, any other questions or comments? Do you have a consensus then to have staff review and prepare an ordinance? Would you like to have a public hearing with this ordinance?
No.
No? Don't think it's necessary?
No.
Okay. All right, staff? Okay. Rob, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Still on item 1.4, citizen input. Is there any citizen here present tonight that would like to address the city council? If you would, raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Okay. Moving on to item 2, approval of agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda as written.
I make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and second to approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3, consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion at this time to approve our consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4, current business, and 4.1, oath of office for police chief. Right now, it's my honor to administer the oath of office for our new police chief, Phil Shane. Phil, would you please come forward? Will you please repeat after me, Phil? Raise your hand. I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the laws of the state of Washington.
And the laws of the state of Washington.
And the charter and ordinances of the city of Othello, Washington.
And the charter and ordinances of the city of Othello, Washington.
And abide by the law enforcement code of ethics.
And abide by the law enforcement code of ethics.
As adopted by the Othello Police Department.
As adopted by the Othello Police Department.
That I will faithfully and honestly.
That I will faithfully and honestly.
And impartially perform.
And impartially perform.
And discharge the duties.
And discharge the duties.
Of a police chief.
Of a police chief.
During my continuance as such.
During the continuance of such.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Phil. And I've asked Phil to speak here for a few minutes. We just want to welcome you to Othello, your family. Jessica, thank you for coming. And Phil, you've got the floor. Okay.
And I'm going to make this real quick. I think we turned up the heat a little bit so that, you know, we'll make everybody speak a little quicker. But I wanted to say good evening. Thank you, Honorable Mayor, ladies and gentlemen of the council, Mr. City Administrator. And I'm having a hard time not saying City Manager, but I will learn this. But I also wanted to take this opportunity to thank the community. This is an opportunity for me as a police chief to come and make a difference in your community and to create partnerships and friendships that I hope will last for years. Within a police department, we need our community's support. So I also want to thank our community for the support that they've given this police department for the years, you know, many years, probably 1910 or so, I would imagine one of the first police chiefs in. You know, it used to be that the police chief or the police department was the town drunk, the person that would take the job for the least amount of money. I'm not that man. So, you know, my goal is to make this one of the best police departments in the nation, and I'm going to do that with the support of you folks and with the support of the community. So, you know, that partnership, that working together, all comes together to make the department go from good to great. One of the things that's really important is traditions. So as a police chief, I'll be identifying the traditions within the police department that we really need to support. Those traditions help build the camaraderie, the esprit de corps, which is the spirit of the team. And that's one of the things that I'm going to be focusing a lot on. So in the meantime, what I want to do is I want to introduce my wife and my kids. My wife, Jessica, my daughter, Tori, and my sons, Ben and James. And we've already moved to the community. My wife is going to be teaching at one of the schools, and my two young boys are going to be in the schools. So we will be a vital part of this community, I hope. My daughter, on the other hand, is a U.S. Marine, and she is shipping out to Okinawa in 2 weeks. So she's not going to be part of this community much, but she's a big part of our lives. But one of those traditions that I wanted to talk about is the pinning. And when our officers are, when they swear in, my hope is that we can bring them in front of council for that oath, and that an important family member or family members will be part of pinning the badge on that officer, which is what I'd like to invite my wife up to do right now.
Okay, thank you.
Or what?
Stick him.
And again, I wanted to thank you. When I said the oath, the very beginning of that oath is to defend and support the Constitution, and I give you my word that that is a priority for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Phil. Am I supposed to sign that too? Well done. Thank you very much. Item 4.2 on our agenda is the swim team report, and tonight we have with us Dulcie Field. And after the successful event that the swim team held here a couple of weeks ago, she has brought her children, and she wants to kind of debrief the council here tonight. So.
Yes, thank you for having me and allowing me to come and speak tonight. I do just want to provide a little debrief on what happened here on the weekend of July 25th through the 27th. It was a big event for us as the swim team and for the community. I've actually brought programs of the event that I'd like to go ahead and have my son present to you guys, just so you can get an idea of kind of what we were dealing with. This was not a small event, so this was fairly major. And this was actually the event that was not supposed to be. During the whole season, we kept hearing from other teams that would come to our swim meets. They kept saying, I don't know how Othello is going to pull this off. How are they going to do this in such a small pool with the small park and the small area and no lodging? And we just didn't worry about it the whole season. We thought, you know, we can do it. We can make it work. So I just put together a little slideshow of the event, starting with our team here. This is the 2014 Othello Barracuda Swim Team. We started with 65 swimmers that enrolled for the season. We ended up with a few less than that that actually participated at champs, but that happens sometimes. So just a little summary of what we were dealing with. As far as total athletes, we had just shy of 400 athletes. Last year at SELA, they hosted the event, and they had somewhere around 5 to 550. And so we thought, well, the attendance was down a little bit, and we didn't really know why that was, and no one ever said really why that was. But just that gives you a little debrief about what kind of teams we were looking at. If you look at the programs, you can see the discrepancy in the sizes of the teams. You have Grandview as the very smallest team, and we're kind of in the middle, and then we got SELA as the monster team to beat. Natchez is also was quite big this year, but they had a lot of very young swimmers, so a lot of them didn't make it to champs. So that's how it broke out. Actually, revenue for the team, I thought you guys might find this interesting. We actually brought in about $20,000 of revenue for just the team, just from champs. A lot of that was, about a third of it was registration fees, so the other swimmers actually paid to come and to swim at Champs. And then we did a lot of fundraising, we did a lot of donations, a lot of vendor fees, those types of things that came in. And so lots of hard work to make sure this happened. We actually ended up with expenses at about $8,600. We had so many items that were donated to us. We had a big hospitality event that happened, a tent that was there for providing water and food for the people that worked the event. When we get into pictures, you'll see that in a little bit. But I think it was because we had such great people running the hospitality, and they went and got a lot of, we didn't have to do a lot of expenses there. I also wanted to take this opportunity to thank our supporters, especially the City of Othello and the City Council. You guys were with us from the beginning. I remember approaching Gina very, very early and said, how do we even start this process? And so thank you all for being so supportive and so instrumental in helping us get this done. Molly and the Public Works Department, I know Terry's here tonight, I would like to thank them. Molly was there all weekend. She was digging in dumpsters, she was picking up garbage, she was doing everything. So she did a lot of great work there. Terry was really helpful as well. The pool crew, Devin, was awesome. Also, again, I didn't expect them to be there the whole time, but they were, and they were getting dirty and making sure everything was going well. You can see some of our other supporters there, McDonald's. They provided a lot of sponsorship for us as far as, you know, free stuff to give away to the kids that were winning events. And then also, Tim was just telling me that they experienced some revenue during the course of the weekend. They reported to him that breakfast sales on Saturday, was it Saturday morning? Up 60% from what they normally see on a weekend. So we did, when I talked to vendors around town, they said, you know, Lorna at timeout, she told me, wow, I really noticed on Saturday. It was like something hit and there were people. So we also heard from Leprechaun anecdotally, yeah, we saw a lot of sales going out. So that was good. That's what we were hoping for the community. That was our overall goal. You can see some of our other sponsors there, the printers, they took care of the programs for us. The Canes did a great job of sponsorship for us, Saddle Mountain Farm Supply, Simplot, Leprechaun, Ace, Simmons, CBHA, Lawrence Oil, Target Ag, Les Schwab. I know I'm probably missing some people out, but I don't want to forget our Barracuda parents, coaches, and our swimmers. They did a lot of work from like October all the way to the event, and we had really a lot of help from a lot of different people. So just going through the event, this was probably what Sean Logan saw out his bedroom window during that weekend, was we just had that street lined with people that were camping and hanging out and having a great time. We heard just a lot of reports about, you know, the lodging didn't end up being a problem, it sounded like. People found a way to do it. We did have some people that tent camped overnight in the park. It wasn't very many. Again, we didn't have any reports that there were any problems or any issues there. I know the police department did bump up some patrols, and that was very, very appreciated and very helpful. This is a little bit about what the tent city looked like during the day. This is a view from the top, at the top there, and then you can just see, we just scatter, and that's what a typical swim team looks like during any meet event. They're just all, it's like a big community, basically. Molly is responsible for the top picture. That is one of those panoramic views, but we basically transformed the pool into a big event center. You can see the pictures there of this is where the timing and the staging areas happened, where the kids actually lined up before they took their marks. And then we've got another staging area over here in the bottom corner. Those flags were there for both safety and for decoration. Our theme was the Amazing Race, and so they were a little festive, as well as kind of directing traffic out of those areas so that we wouldn't have to deal with any of swimmers going astray in the Lazy River or anywhere else. This is another great shot of what it looks like at the event. This was right before opening ceremonies. You can see all the kids starting to line up around there. One of the concerns that we had when we were setting up was, where is everyone going to sit? There's 400 swimmers that people are going to watch. And at a typical swim meet, people will come in, they'll watch the swimmer, they'll leave. And it's a pretty short event for the most part. So people were pretty good about, you know, taking their turn, their shifts in and out underneath this This tarp we actually created at the site of the event. We put water misters underneath as well, so we would keep people cool during those hot days. Luckily, it was not 100 and anything. So the temperature, I think, was just about perfect for the event. This is a little shot of the opening ceremony. You can see our coaches, some of the teams, and then I wanted to highlight our national anthem singers. 5 minutes before we needed to play the national anthem, we said, "So, did anyone download that from you, iTunes or anything?" And Tim says, "Oh, I have a singer." And so he gathered up Taylor, Molly, and Alexis. We printed off the lyrics really quick, and with 10 minutes notice, no kidding, they a cappella the national anthem, and they knocked it out of the park. They sounded great. So, any questions? I just want to, once again, thank you guys for your support as we put this event on. We had really, really positive feedback. It went from, "You guys, there's no way you can do this," to the coach from the Natchez team said, "You know, in all the champs events I've ever been to, this has been my favorite." So they were petitioning us, "You guys should do it again next year." And we were like, "We need a year off, at least." It is supposed to go to Prosser next year. They also have a similar situation with their pool where it's short, but they have 8 lanes. They've been asking us questions already about, how do you get your city on board? How do you get your parents on board? So, again, any questions for us?
I just want to congratulate you on a wonderful event. I was there. The amount of work it takes to pull off an event like this is just enormous. You probably had vacation days.
I had a couple of vacation weeks
or something, Dulcie, but you did our community proud. You really did, and the whole team.
Thank you.
Really,
well, and that's the reason we did it, and that's why I wanted to bring the kids. They are my swimmers, so Chelsea actually was able to medal in a couple of things, and so I wanted to be able to show her off. But we had lots of kids that performed very well, and we told them, even if you don't medal, if you improve through the year, and so many of them did. Angel was at several of our events, I think, and he saw the growth in his grandkids, and they did awesome from the beginning to the end. They just did great. So just seeing that, and it's something that you just, it's amazing. So, okay. Did I forget anything, Tim? Okay.
It couldn't happen to Dulcie, let's just say that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Dulcie. The next item on our agenda, 4.3, is the second quarter report, fire report from Adams County Fire District Number 5, Gary. Welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to say something about Barracudas.
Yes.
I'm amazed at the process of champs. We were up there a couple times, and my wife was very impressed. She timed for you, and she heard one negative comment, but it wasn't about champs. It wasn't about the pool. It was totally something else. But we were surprised how it was pulled together and the potential for a facility in Othello to do that.
Yeah.
Finally, it's getting used. The community is getting something back from it in sales and different things. Yep. What a great event. Hopefully we can have more things like that.
Yes.
So, well, second quarter report from Adams 5. We had 34 city alarms compared to 31 from last year. 34 without a significant event. No major loss, no displacement of residents or anything like that, no injuries. So all in all, it was a good second quarter. Our inspector did 59 commercial fire inspections. The saw several building permit applications come through our office. We teamed with Public Works and just last week finished testing of the hydrants in Othello. We did the southern half of the city from Main Street south, and they finished up last week. Found a few deficiencies, but
not as many as we were finding years ago. We continue with our annual testing of the fire pumps, the engines, and those, we've got no events there with city engines. All of them pass. The other thing we're doing is fire hose testing, our annual fire hose testing. Again, no problems there. We're on a rotation. We're getting new hose yearly and replacing. SCBAs have been tested. We're staying with our respiratory safety for firefighters, tested annually and certified. And in May, we had the Walla Walla flashover trailer here again. 31 firefighters? No. Excuse me. I don't have the number of that, but we have 31 firefighters on the roster right now, three of which are continuing their education later this month. So we'll be down. 31 is a good number again. So if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Just a statement. The Ritzville Fire Department was very pleased to get that hose. They, I'm sure, put it to good use and appreciate that. The other thing is, and this is just because I don't know, and so I'm asking this question about the 59 commercial business inspections. Do you guys do inspections like so many a quarter, so you hit all the businesses, or how do you space that out?
We're supposed to be on a four-year rotation, but we've actually refined it down. We're on a two-year rotation, where our inspectors into businesses every 2 years. And some of the higher occupant load places, the schools, churches, things like that, we're in every year. The schools, we're in twice a year. In fact, those are going on this week, right, prior to the students coming in. He started today, and I'm not sure how many he got to, but it's an ongoing process, and we've been able to get it down to a two-year turn. We're seeing a lot less violations, and people are more receptive now than back in the early 2000s when we were coming in. So it's great to be in businesses and see what's going on.
Council? Thank you very much, Gary.
Thank you.
Moving to item 4.4 on our agenda, Aspect Consulting LLC agreement, please.
Mayor and Council, in your package, you had a contract with Aspect Engineering for water consulting services for help us with our strategic water planning. As you're all aware, water is a very critical resource for us. We're at a critical juncture in our planning for water. We need to make sure we make the right decisions in the coming years, months and years. And so after talking about it and discussing it quite a bit, we looked at what we had available right now, which we've been with Gray and Osmond for a while, and of course the Guama folks have been doing some studies, but to get a full picture, we want a fresh set of eyes, one that's looked at from an industry viewpoint. And so we looked across what was available out there and came up with Aspect Engineering. They put together a contract for $15,000, which is the limit for going out for bid. And the contract you have before you is what we're asking you to approve, with one caveat, one addendum, which will, I talked to Mr. Flynn in Aspect Engineering today, and that's an end date for this. They expect to be done no later than 31 October, so that'll be an addendum to this contract. And they will provide us, hopefully, with a better view, or another view, of where we should go with our water in the coming years to make sure we have an adequate supply. Questions?
Council? Have you had a chance to review the scope and tasks? Okay.
Where's this money going to come out of?
From Bainbridge Island. So they have offices in Bainbridge.
Funding.
Where
are we going to fund this out of?
The water and sewer fund? Spencer?
Yes.
I thought you were asking me what offices or where they're from. Okay. Good. Any further questions of the board, council? No?
No.
Okay. This time, then, I'd entertain a motion to approve the contract with the addendum of 31 October this year end date.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Wade. Moving on to item 4.5, open government agreement. Spencer, this presentation for us.
Thank you very much. For the last couple of weeks, really the last month or so, the mayor and the city administrator and myself have been looking at different ways that we can make the city finances more accessible to members of the public. And there are a couple of companies that have some great programs out there that help members of the public look through city financials, the revenue side, the expense side, and help to make sense out of some of this stuff. We found a company called OpenGov that takes our financial information, each one of our budgeted revenue and expense line items by fund and by department, and they when we plug our information into their system, it makes it really easy to see at whatever level we want trends across years, what different revenue sources are doing across years. Are they growing? Are they decreasing? What we're spending our money on as a city by fund, by department, within a department, what's the largest source of expense for the general fund, for example. And this company does some really great things there. There's a link on here also, if you want, hopefully you had a chance to look at just a sample of something that they've done for one of our, or for another city. This is something that we can also link to our city website, so it can be easily accessed by members of the community. The cost of this program would be $3,500 a year, and the attached contract, per the attached contract, is $3,500 a year. And this is something that we can renew or not on an annual basis as we want. In the contract, you might see some language referring to a five-year contract term. When I talked to the company about that, they reassured me via email that it was an annual process, that five-year option was in there to make it easier for us if we wanted to continue with our services from year to year without having to go through a new contract every year. So with that, it's the recommendation of staff that council authorize the mayor to enter into contract with OpenGov for this financial open financial service.
Mm-hmm. So are we going to put this on the web page, and you'll be able to bring it up if you're just a citizen, and you'll see the budget, and you'll see how expenditures are moving? Or?
Yes.
Yeah. They can do that to a degree now, mm-hmm. but you have to know more about our budget in order to do that. And with this particular program, it's going to make it very easy, and you'll have comparisons side by side year for the last 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And when we first were looking at this, we weren't, you know, sure do we really need this or not. And then when we started looking at the amount of time spent on public records requests for financial information of the city, we decided this was probably a cheap option. Didn't you mm-hmm. think, Spencer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can easily point members of the public to this information. And I think it's in a format that's easily understandable. And at whatever level the person is comfortable with, or whatever level of detail they want to see. So
if we can do that already, what's the difference with what we're trying to purchase versus what we got now?
What we're doing is right now, there's no way to compare from year to year to year what we've done and the changes of, unless you open up this year, then open up last year, and then open up the year before in separate windows or tabs. The other thing is that this graphically displays the information. Maybe you could click that Open Gov.
The wording here is a little small, so you can't see that, but at least you can see here, this is someone selected the expenses on this side. They're looking at the city's expenses by department, so you can see, let's go back to where we were. So we can see expenses in a few different categories: utilities, public works, police, fire. Each one of these colors represent one of those different departments. And here in just a sec, you'll see this is an analysis across years, 2010, 2011. I'm not controlling this. This is something that just automatically just moves here. In a sec, you're going to see a pie graph that's kind of cool. It shows expenses from, I believe it's a general fund. It'll come up in just a second. Maybe not. Oh, I should stop clicking on this.
It'll go to the pie graph.
I apologize. So you can see expenses across years, different departments, different budgets, different line items. You can scroll back and forth between years on that pie chart that it just showed up a second ago. So you can see different areas, the expense areas growing or shrinking, and easily see where the city's spending the taxpayer dollars.
Okay, so you get the, you buy the software package, and then you're going to have to load it. Who's loading it?
No, they will load it.
I'll
download all of the chart of accounts and the budget and the expense and revenue information right from our system. Yeah, yep. Those are reports that are easily run, and this company loads all that stuff, puts it all together for us.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Now, why this is significant is that if right now, as we're currently set up, if someone wants information and wants a report, Spencer or one of the staff people have to run the report, identify the particular line item and or the particular course of history that someone wants their information on. Maybe they're keying in on something that was spent in the police budget. Maybe they're keying in on what we spent on handicap access through Public Works Department. Well, this would give them specific information that they could look up themselves. Right now, the way all the responsibility is upon our staff to go dig it out, find it for them, and bring it back for them, whereas this would allow them to find it themselves in an easy mechanism to do it.
Yeah, so these are easy reports to run, but the hardest part is typically just trying to guess what does this person really want, what are they after, what report's really going to answer their question. And this way they can answer their own question.
And they can look away at their heart's content.
Yeah.
So do we get quite a bit of people walking in wanting to know exactly where we're at financial-wise?
Not walking in, but we get emails regularly asking about where's this money going, where's that money going, what happened to this revenue source, various questions like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. My only question would be where are we going to fund the $3,500 from?
Well, for this year, it would run from August to August, I guess, because it'd be these next 12 months. In our office and operating supplies under record services in the general fund, this is a line item that we've budgeted $17,000 for office and operating supplies. And by looking for sales and buying items in bulk, we've been able to cut down on what we're actually going to be spending out of this line item. And so we can easily put this expense into that line item. And then going into the budget process, we'll build this into our next year's budget. And in the future, if this is useful, we can continue it. And if we find that it's really not doing what we wanted it to do, we can always cancel.
What's the difference on the cost besides what we got now and what and the $3,500 that we're paying for?
That's a harder question to answer. The cost that the mayor was referring to is the cost of the time that staff are spending on different public records requests. And so it's the total, the hourly rate of an employee plus the cost of the benefit, the benefits that the city pays for that employee. And so it's a cost that can climb pretty quick, and we want to be able to spend our time doing other things instead of just running in circles. And hopefully this will answer some of that.
Last year, weren't we in the tens of thousands of dollars for public requests?
Okay. Spencer can answer that.
From I believe it was November 2011 through the end of last month, we've spent about $43,000-$44,000 worth of employee time.
Wow.
on public records requests. That's a salary for one person.
You could have hired somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that's a lot of money.
And so when you compare that to the $3,500
Yeah. Now you know why I have my conclusion. Any other questions for Spencer?
No. I just have one.
Yes.
You said this is going to be canceled after a year, but this contract specifically says it's a 5-year contract.
Yeah. I caught on to that same question a few days ago when I was looking at the contract. I emailed the company, and they assured me through an email also, so I have written documentation, that this is this contract can be canceled after any year. The reason that he said to me, the reason why he put 5 years in there is so we don't have to renew the contract every year, taking some of the burden off of us. But we can cancel after 1 year. Absolutely.
Is that in writing? That's good enough to override the 5-year statement?
If another couple paragraphs down from that paragraph that mentions the 5 years talks about canceling the contract at the end of any 12-month period. And so together that with their email. I think would suffice.
That's a good question, Corey. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions to Spencer? Catherine, you reviewed the contract, correct?
Yes, and I had the same question for Spencer. The way the contract is written, it could be interpreted both ways. But with the email clarification, they are interpreting it the same way that we had, which is each term is a 12-month term. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Spencer.
With that, the council has an option to move to approve or to authorize the city to enter into contract with OpenGov. Do you want to do that now, or we can wait and consider this further?
Council?
No, I'd make the motion to authorize to enter into contract with OpenGov.com.
I second that.
Okay. We have a motion made and second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much, Spencer. Item 4.6, award gasoline and diesel fuel contract. Debbie, you have some information for us?
The city advertised for bids for gasoline and diesel fuel and received one bid from Lawrence Oil in the amount of 0.075 cents per gallon above their regional rack cost. That is exactly what they bid, and we approved the bid, 3 years ago, so it didn't increase at all. The city purchased approximately 18,000 gallons of gasoline and diesel motor fuel last year. Adams County Fire District completed an inspection of the facility and reported that all of the essential qualifications are present at the facility and meet the intent of that International Fire Code. The city budgeted $64,800 in the 2014 budget, which is allocated in the police, public works, parks, and code enforcement budgets. What we're here tonight is asking council to consider approving the 3-year agreement with the contingency of a 1-year extension with Lawrence Oil, Inc., or Company, Inc., for gasoline and diesel fuel. Are there any questions?
Have there been competitive bids?
Pardon me?
Were there competitive bids?
No, this is the only one that we received, and we advertised twice in the LOL.
In essence, this is the same contract we have.
It's the same bid. Yeah, same amount.
Same amount, seven and a half cents above the regional rack cost. Are all the other terms remaining equal?
Pardon me?
All the other terms of the contract remaining equal?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Deb.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? All right, I'd entertain a motion to approve the three-year agreement with Lawrence Oil.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4.7, MRSC Small Works Roster. Terry, you have some information about the Small Works Roster for us, Terry?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Before you have an MRSC Small Works Roster contract, currently the Small Works Roster is down at Public Works and the Consultant Roster is up at City Hall. We spend a lot of time collecting data, advertising, changing things out, keeping up date with all of the new businesses and people that want to be on our roster. It is very, very time consuming. There's three great big binders down there that we keep our data in. And it is a chore. The Small Works Roster online with MRSC, you pop it up, you go online, you select your data from them, what kind of contractors you want, and you send out your quotes, bids for bids. We currently, some of the time when we go out to advertise for bid, we don't get all of what we need. We need a minimum of three, maximum of five. Sometimes we'll get one, sometimes we'll get two, and sometimes we even find it hard to even get one. We set up here in no man's land, basically the desert, and we ask people to come as contractors to do work for us, and it's kind of hard. So they have a huge database to pick from. We use them a lot, and we're basically asking council for $120 a year, $10 a month, basically. And I spend time with the secretary that wakes a little more an hour than that. To deal with this twice a year, advertising, collecting, going through the books, keeping them organized, making sure everything's signed and up to date. So tonight, we're asking that council approve the use of this, the MRSC online roster, for our Small Works Roster and our Consulting Roster.
So the big difference, well, instead of us doing this locally, this would be done through the MRSC, and so we might get local and or other people bid on our small works.
Correct.
From other places too.
Correct.
Because they keep basically a statewide database.
Correct.
Okay.
We had some problems here not too long ago when we were doing some block work, and we had a hard time finding a masonry guy that would just do block work. So it took us a while to get it, but we took two or three runs at it. By the time we advertised a couple of times, I think we ended up with one. But at least this gives us the opportunity we can select from several others and get what we need and meet what the state requirements are.
Okay, so very good. Any questions of Terry?
Yeah, my interest is making sure some of these projects that you have that can be done with local contractors, because this is where the money's coming from. It's coming from the
correct
the local public and their citizens. So I'd like to see if we could keep the business in town,
okay,
possible. How would that affect like some of your current people that are on the small work rosters that are local?
Well, I think if they're in a database there, I would believe that they'd be on it. We'd have to check. I haven't gotten on it to look at it to see.
So they would have to go on to MRSC to get on the
Small Works Roster.
So if we do this, probably what we need to do is notice out to all of our Small Works Roster
correct
people, local
correct
people, and let them know that this is where they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of problems do you run into locally, though? I mean, you got, let's say, five groups of construction people here that will do, you know, can handle small works projects, and all five of them are working. And they don't want to respond to you with you know. Is that the kind of problems you're facing, Terry?
No, the problem that we're kind of facing is that we can't get enough. Some of the bids we went out for and advertised for, we'd end up with one contractor that applied for the bid.
Even though we have four or five local,
yeah,
contractors?
Yes.
Well, do they have a problem submitting bids or what?
No.
I think the problem is...
They still want the job.
When the season gets going, everybody's busy.
Right.
So once it tapers off, you'll have more than enough help. Everybody gets going. It's like, you know, the Columbia Basin, when it's hammered, it's hammered.
Yeah. So, but I mean, as somebody doing business, you want to do business when you have, you know, have to do the business. You don't want to have to wait. So if the local people aren't available, you got to go outside to the area. And they should understand that. So we're not giving up anything to the people of the community. If they want to bid on it, they can bid on it.
And I know that this has always been a problem with Public Works. Even when I worked down there, you just had a hard time getting people to bid on the small work truck. You know, when you sent the letter out, they just didn't respond. Either they're busy or something else is going on. And it makes it very difficult to meet those state requirements. And this, I know MRSC is a very, very good, reputable organization. And the city has used them a lot for a lot of other things, forms, you know, legislation, what have it.
Legal research.
Legal research. So I would have absolutely no problem signing up for the small works roster online. I do think we should probably send out some kind of notice to our local people to let them know to sign up on it, though.
Do you want to change?
That doesn't make them have to bid.
Right, but do you want to amend the motion then to include that? So that it reads...
I think that's just something staff could do.
We would do it.
As long as we can.
With what we have, see if we can carry it over.
Okay.
So, you know, we just ask them, you know, if we would like that to be done for our local businesses, to be sent to send out a notice to go, where to go and to sign up. And so with that, I'd like to make a motion to adopt the resolution to move our small works roster and consultant roster to MRSC.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion to adopt this resolution before us. Is there any discussion? I just have one question. So to clarify, Terry, the new process is going to be you have some work that needs to be done in the city. You will then contact MRSC.
Correct.
And they will post it.
Yeah, it'll be posted on their website as to what you're looking for.
And
for
so
contractors.
You won't be contacting local contractors, will you? I guess you could. But
we can if they're in the database there. If they're still in this old database and we're not using it, they'll have to be on that database to use.
Right. So they're signed up. You can let them know. But if they don't respond or you only get one. Or excuse me, because it'll be going through that, if you only get one, well then that's perfectly fine because we're part of a statewide database.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Wouldn't MRC send out a notification to the people that are joined or that are part of that?
They'll send their notifications and they'll update their businesses on a regular basis for you. You won't have to.
Yeah.
It's getting our stuff here and letting our people know here that's where they need to go to get on the database so that
right.
if we have a project coming up.
So if they get on the database, then they're going to get an email from them saying, hey, there's a job in your area. Go, you know, submit it if you want the work.
Yeah.
You're not missing out on anything.
We're on that at work and we get emails.
Okay. So it's fair to everybody.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4.8, chairs for elected officials. All of you have now had a chance to sit in these new green leather high-backed council chairs. I purchased those for $40 a piece. And I had to rent a U-Haul, got a parking ticket in downtown Spokane because I was trying to, the remainder of the reader guy just wasn't buying it. So I had to pay a parking fine, but I absorbed that cost. What I want to do is I wanted to know if the city council wanted to keep these chairs, and if they do, I'm selling them for $50 a piece. That would be a $400 expenditure out of the general budget. Is that correct, Spencer? And we have $400 to
Yes, that could come out of a bunch of different lines.
Mm-hmm. And so these would then become the permanent chairs for the city council. Is there any discussion? Questions?
Any problem with that?
I guess I'm, are you, you're selling them at your cost or with your U-Haul and everything included?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, $50 a chair.
And that's enough to cover your expenses?
That will cover my expenses. Basically a cost, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying, because what I paid for them plus what I had to pay to get them here. Yeah.
I think they're pretty comfortable. They're a lot better than any of the chairs that they, I think we had a budget of, what, 1,800 at one point, not last year, but the year before. And the chairs that they brought were pretty flimsy. These are pretty nice quality.
Kevin, just saying you put it in a seat.
I will.
Just put it in the box.
Let's see if they want them first. I believe these are a nice addition. They enhance our credibility. They enhance our image of a council. And so with that, I'd entertain a motion to spend $400 to purchase them from me.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Is there any further discussion?
Are we going about it the right process?
Well, typically
you
don't.
Well, clear the auditor's office doing it.
That's why I want the documentation in the file showing its cost.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Via invoice.
Right.
Yep. Okay. So, Spencer, is there any further direction you want to give us?
No, I was just going to say, due to the dollar size, it's $400. And as long as, like Catherine said, we can have the support that shows what the story is, and if it's something that's justifiable, I think that would be fine. Okay. But I think that would pass the audit test.
I'll provide that. Okay. All right. Any further questions or discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 5, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the City Council?
What does that really mean?
Stuff we worked on in the past, maybe at prior council meetings, or something that you want to bring back up again that hasn't been, maybe you have further information that you want to bring to the council about something we've discussed in the past or something we're currently working on?
Okay. I do.
Okay.
The trees that
on
Cunningham. No attention, and you know, they brought it up in one of our workshops.
It needs to be done now. We need to figure out how to get it done now.
It's out there in front of Walmart.
If it takes a ticket to Walmart, give them a ticket.
I don't think going by Walmart.
David Graham, do you want to come to the microphone? Thank you. You gave us some information before, but yeah.
Code enforcement officers contacted the owners of Taco Bell because those greenways are responsible to the own, to the business owners that abut them. Taco Bell is willing to trim the trees as it is. What we discovered is that the first time they were trimmed within OMC by 4 feet off the ground, but that ground that they measured, of course, is in that gully. So we need to trim them up as level with the curbing. And so they're going to do that. That is on, I think we've talked to them. The trees are going to look like mushrooms for a while, but as I said, they are willing to work with this. I can have code enforcement Miller follow up on that and see a time frame for it.
Very good.
So now what about the ones that are west of that? The Taco Bell would be the eastern trees.
Right.
The ones on the west side are the ones, because you're getting people that are stepping on it coming out from town going to Walmart. Or if they're not going to Walmart, they're going on through to Cunningham, and that's the ones that are going to get to you first.
Okay. The upper part.
Yeah. Until that property. So right now, I understand that there's a auto parts store that's coming in that owns that property, they're going to be, have to be responsible for that greenway. And that, I believe, they should be already aware from that.
So they're in the second slot over, though.
Right. And so it's the real estate company that owns that other one.
Who's got the gas station there? I mean, the American Gas.
It's the USA, whoever has that. It's on that business. So all that can be taken care of. I know we worked with Taco Bell. I believe that she talked to the other businesses in the area, but I can confirm with that in the morning.
So our right-of-way doesn't extend into that? I mean, the sidewalks are theirs to maintain as well?
No. I mean, the greenway belongs to the city. However, through OMC, we can kind of regulate what's there and how it's taken care of.
Okay, so the OMC, that's an ordinance?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's also
part of the municipal code. That's
okay,
what our code
is. So we could change the municipal code to be responsible for the greenways?
I think it's in there. We just have to enforce it.
Because, I mean, there's too much talking going on around this whole thing. Let's just get it done before, you know, we could wait around, you know, 6 months, a year for somebody to take charge and do it. Otherwise, we just do it. We got it done.
Sure. Doesn't the OMC say 12 feet above roads nowadays and 7 feet above sidewalks?
The way that we understand that depends on where it is. On that area over there, I understood it was 4 feet above sidewalks. Co-enforcement Miller had a, I thought we emailed it out to Mr. Ferris. Did you get it also? And so we've been working on it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Quite honestly, there's a process for enforcement of things like that, like weeds in somebody's yard or those kind of things, and it's not an instantaneous process, unfortunately.
That's on private property. That's on private property, on somebody's private property. This is a greenway that's alongside of a roadway that the city owns, and it's...
I don't think...
So the trees, who planted the trees? Was that Walmart?
Yes.
On the city right-of-way?
That's my question. How far does the right-of-way extend?
I don't believe it's a city right-of-way. I believe it's
Well, can we get clarification on that?
That's why it is the property owner.
The property owner, they could be taking care of them 100%.
Yeah.
Right.
But the problem is you've got a whole bunch of lots on that, along that greenway, and right now we've only got a couple of businesses, and everybody kind of... for a long time it's kind of thrown their hands up and go, oh, it's not us.
Yeah, but I know Walmart sold in the properties a while back, so whoever owns them
is
liable for those, responsible.
Right. Eliana, what's the name of that?
Jazz.
Yes. He's the one that owns the one to the west of that entrance into Walmart. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, and we had a local business offer to come in and trim all those back at his expense. Couldn't we just took advantage of that? I believe that's what...
but they are private property. I don't know if they would do that.
That's what I was wondering.
Right. I don't know if that was...
with the permission of the property owner.
That's what it would, yeah. That's what it would have to take.
And that's what the holdup is.
John's irritation stems from... we've talked about this for some time. And it's like Wade said, there's a process that we have to follow. I mean, if we can't, we would like to be able to just say, okay, Dave Spurl and someone else were at our last council meeting and they explained how they would just do it for us. But because we're a city, we have to follow the regulation and our codes in order to go through a process. Maybe Catherine, you could explain that a little better. How cities have to operate on things like this.
For code enforcement?
Well, yeah. We have this situation, and we just as the council and the mayor, we just assumed that was taken care of a week ago or 2 weeks ago when it first was brought to us. But
you do have some processes in place for code enforcement, and that's one of the things that. This is an opportune moment, I guess, to ask council about this because I'm asking all of my cities to reconsider their approach to code enforcement. And we've talked about it at Othello over the last couple of years. But right now, currently in your code, the majority of your civil violations are processed as a notice of violation in order to correct. Unfortunately, for some situations, either that doesn't provide the correction in a timely enough fashion for the preference of most people, or it doesn't provide the proper incentive for the property owner to come into compliance. So one of the things that I'm recommending that my cities consider, in fact, it's on the agenda tomorrow at Moses Lake, and I can provide you with the draft ordinance that I prepared for them. But what I would like to do is move all of my jurisdictions in their Chapter 1 to a process that allows your code enforcement officials, whichever code enforcement official that happens to be, to select from three different code enforcement mechanisms, either the notice of an order to correct, a civil citation, or an order of abatement. And I'm recommending that because these kinds of issues are human-caused. And so you need to have the flexibility in your code, I think, to address the human that you're dealing with. And they come in all shapes and sizes. You may encounter some in code enforcement where you've got someone who has a mental disability that needs a different approach than someone who's just flat-out ornery and not wanting to comply. You may have someone with extremely limited resources, and the reality of coming into compliance is going to require a lot more time or latitude in another area. And then you might have a situation where an immediate fine or a hefty fine is the best motivator to getting the fix. Or you may have a situation where the property owner isn't going to fix it, and it's in the city's best interest to go in on an abatement action and fix it themselves and have a judgment sitting out there earning 12% interest over the next 10 years against the piece of property. Mm-hmm. So it really provides a little more flexibility, I think, and efficacy to your code enforcement process. And if council is interested in taking a look at that, I would send that down to Wade tomorrow, and you could have it at your next workshop meeting to discuss.
That's very helpful, Catherine. Thank you.
I would like to see that.
Council, yeah. You like that idea?
Yes.
Yes. Rather than the current, what our current code gives us the
right
flexibility.
Right now, current code only gives us one avenue, and I think that's a much better option. I would like to hear more about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Good discussion. Any other unfinished business? Thank you, Dave. Appreciate the update. No further unfinished business. New business. Is there any new business to come before the council? Okay. Hearing none. I will adjourn this meeting tonight at 8:12 p.m.